Why don't we clap our hands to Jesus today? Oh, God. Let's just praise him for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let's lift our voices in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Why don't you tell somebody beside you to wake up? It's Sunday morning. Praise God. I'm glad to be in church. I was glad. Somebody read it and thought it said I was sad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I heard somebody say they thought it said I was mad when they said, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." But David said, "I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord." Anybody feel that way today? I'm glad to be in God's church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Yesterday, my home church had a back-to-school event. Yesterday and today, I believe. But yesterday, I had to play the part of Pharaoh. I don't know if there's an A in that. Some people say Pharaoh. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. But anyway, I had to be Pharaoh. And they had all the plagues set up. I had to memorize yesterday, but my mind spun a little bit. But the blood, the frogs, you know, the lice, flies, all these things, locusts. And we had to go through each scene. And I had to act out Pharaoh's part. And it was a little bit challenging because within each scene, I had to be mean and angry and arrogant. And then I had to be humble. And so my mind was spinning. I was practicing with Brother David. He was Moses. And we were practicing and on Friday, I think, and we'd get into the third or fourth or fifth plague, and my head would be spinning, and I'd say, "Wait a minute, am I supposed to be mean or nice right here?" Because there's just so much. But one of the main themes of all that with my part was refusing to let God's people go. And so hopefully that attitude and spirit is... Hopefully my acting and role-playing doesn't carry over into Sunday morning church today. And we'll just preach about 3 hours, and people will be begging to go, but I'm not going to let any... God's people, you're not going. You cannot go. We're just going to stay right here all through the afternoon. I'm kidding today. I'm kidding. I had a great time. There's nothing as exciting as the kingdom of God and laboring, working in any capacity, any way. There's nothing like working for the kingdom of God and working with children. Sunday school kids is very special, very rewarding. And anybody just glad to be a part of the kingdom of God, just to be a part of the church, just to be a part. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I promise you, I did not start out looking for a pulpit. I tried to run and hide and do everything I could to get away from a pulpit. I promise you that. But, amen, here I am today, and I feel like a laborer in God's kingdom. I feel like a laborer and a servant, and I'm just glad to pick up trash and run a vacuum. It just feels good to be a part of God's kingdom today, doesn't it? Why don't we clap our hands and thank God today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I do feel something on my heart. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles, I'm excited to see some of these Sunday school kids in here. We're glad you're in here. And you may not get to see Football Ted. You girls back there know who Football Ted is? Do they know who that is? Oh, they know who that is. Well, I don't have a football, but maybe we can have a touchdown here in a few minutes. The Holy Ghost will touch down. Psalms 23. This is very familiar scripture here. Psalm 23. Most of us may be able to quote it, but we'll read it real quick. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And I like this last verse here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Somebody say, goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. I like how it says shall. It doesn't say will. And I don't want to keep you standing too long, but when we see the word will, a lot of times it involves the human will. Hallelujah. And we see a will here in this verse. David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not a guarantee because there's the will of humanity involved. David was saying, I hope to, I plan to. It's my desire that I will dwell, but it's not a guarantee. But when there is a shall, that's you can take a shall to the bank. There's no doubt about it. There's no ifs. And the scripture said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. I want to preach for a few minutes here today. Goodness and mercy. Pardon me. Goodness and mercy is on my heels. Goodness and mercy is on my heels. Let's pray that God would help us just for a moment. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for your spirit, your presence. Help us today, God. Oh, God, touch every heart, every life. Thank you for these children, these young people, Sunday school children. Thank you, God, every generation that's together represented in your sanctuary today. We pray that you would talk to us through your word and help us. Thank you, God. Speak to our hearts and our spirits. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, praise God. Why don't you say that guy looks like he needs your help bad here this morning. Tell somebody. And God bless you. You can be seated. That's supposed to be a joke, but that's all right if you meant it. David was a man after God's own heart. And David loved the paths of righteousness. He loved the paths of righteousness. There is no better place in life you could ever be than walking on the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm talking about when your heart's right, when your spirit's right, when you're clean and pure and holy. Amen. Your attitude's right, and you're just in that place of righteousness with God. And David loved those paths of righteousness. And Psalm 23, when you really look at it, there's many ways to look at it, but one of the ways to define or describe Psalm 23 is that it is David listing all of the benefits. We all like benefits, don't we? And David's listing all of the benefits of what it is like to be living and breathing, existing, walking on the paths called righteousness. Hallelujah. He lists all of these benefits. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm lying down in green pastures. There's still waters. There's restoration for my soul. And he talks about all of these things, the anointing on my head, my cup runneth over. And he's talking about all of the benefits. Has anybody found out that there are benefits to living for God? Come on, somebody. There are many, many benefits to doing things the Bible way, the right way. Hallelujah. But as much as David loved the paths of righteousness, there were times in his life that David strayed off the path of righteousness. And he found himself in a place or a state of unrighteousness. There were times and instances in his life that his flesh got the better of him. He made a mistake. He stumbled. He fell. And here he is, away from God, away from the path of righteousness. And he found out, hallelujah, that yes, when I stray from righteousness, yes, there is pain. Can I get a witness? Yes, there is condemnation. Yes, there is guilt. Yes, there is shame. Hallelujah. But David found out every time that he strayed from righteousness that goodness and mercy is following me. Goodness and mercy follows me into my mistake, into my foolishness. Hallelujah. Into my regrets, into sin, hallelujah. And goodness and mercy follows me into these places. And goodness and mercy is there to turn me around and bring me back and restore me back to the path called righteousness. Hallelujah. And I don't want to just put a microscope on David and single out his mistakes and paint him in a bad light. But just for the sake of this message this morning, I want to look at a couple of instances real quickly. Main instances of David's life where he failed miserably and he strayed from the righteousness of God. The first instance that I want to bring real quick is when David, as king, he numbered the people. And God had commanded him to not number the people, but David numbered the people. And so he had strayed from the righteousness of God. And the judgment of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to him and gave him three options as his judgment or consequence for his mistake. The first option was that there would be a famine for 7 years. The second option was that the enemies round about would fight against them for 3 months. And the third option was that that there would be pestilence by the hand of the Lord upon the people for 3 days. And that's where we get this famous quote or verse that most of us have heard many times, where David made this statement. In humility and prayer, David says, "Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." Oh, I don't know about you, but I feel that way today. I don't want to fall into the hands of men or a man. I want to fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Hallelujah. And so David chose 3 days pestilence by the hand of the Lord. We know that during these 3 days that 70,000 men died. The angel of the Lord on the third day was stretching forth his hand to destroy Jerusalem. But God stopped that death angel. And the Lord said to that death angel, "It is enough." Hallelujah. And so the death angel was stopped. And so Jerusalem was spared. Hallelujah. David survived. His wife survived. His children survived. His family survived. David was devastated. The people were devastated. David was heartbroken. Amen. He felt responsible. 70,000 families. Nobody fall asleep for a minute. We're going to have fun here in a second, all right? But 70,000 families lost a loved one during those 3 days. There was a sound of weeping in Jerusalem. There was a sound of grief and pain. There was a dark cloud hanging over the people of God. And so David found out, when I stray from righteousness, yes, there is consequence. Yes, there is regret. Yes, there is shame. Yes, there is guilt. Hallelujah. Yes, there is misery. But he also found out that when I stray from righteousness, that goodness and mercy is following me. Hallelujah. Because David understood, I should have died during that time. I should have been destroyed. My family should have been destroyed. But God was rich in mercy towards me and my family during that time. Oh, hallelujah. Goodness and mercy was following David. It was on his heels. It was on his trail to protect him and keep him and preserve him. We know that after those 3 days that David's heart smote him and David repented and built an altar. David didn't linger in his sin. He didn't linger and remain in his mistake. Hallelujah. But he repented. Amen. And when David built an altar and repented, goodness and mercy transported him back to the past called righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I'm feeling good today. We serve such a great God. I'm telling you, when we stray or find ourselves in a place where we shouldn't be or we shouldn't have done whatever, hallelujah, I'm telling you, all it takes is one prayer meeting and there's an immediate transportation. Hallelujah. God doesn't make us retrace every step. Amen. If we made 50 steps the wrong way, we don't have to retrace every step to get back to the path of righteousness. But I believe that when we turn around in repentance, there's an immediate transportation. Hallelujah. There's a supernatural. There's a supernatural moving that, within an instant, within a moment's time, we find ourselves back in that path called righteousness, that our head is anointed with oil and our cup runs over and there's green pastures and there's still waters and there's peace in our mind. Hallelujah. And there's restoration for our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to bring just one more instance real quick of another major mistake in David's life. And this was the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Hallelujah. We know that during this time, it was a time of battle. It was a time of warfare when kings went forth to battle. And David, the mighty warrior that was always fighting during these times and protecting and taking territory and defeating enemies, David stays home and he's in a time of relaxing, a time of ease. He's not fighting like he used to. Amen. David was drawn away from the battle and he's relaxing. And it's in this time of ease and relaxing that he falls to temptation. Hallelujah. I could get sidetracked there, but I want to tell you, my main concern is not temptation or the things of this world, but my main concern is to stay busy fighting for the things I need to fight for. My main concern is, I don't know about you, I got to stay busy reading this Bible. I got to stay busy praying. Maybe you got a halo hanging over your head, but my flesh will get out of hand real quick if I don't stay busy. Hallelujah. My attitude, my spirit, I'm telling you. Amen. My flesh can get out of hand quick, but if I'll stay busy praying, if I'll stay busy and stay engaged reading the Bible, come on, if we'd stay engaged with soul winning, if we'd stay engaged with the work of God and fight for what we need to fight for. The Bible says that every man is tempted when he is first. drawn away, hallelujah, drawn away of his own lust and then enticed, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the enemy cannot mess with somebody that's in the middle of being engaged, in the middle of being active in the things of God. But if he can get you to be drawn away, to be pulled away, hallelujah. I'm telling you, you got to stay in the Word of God. You got to stay in the book. You got to stay at the altar. You got to keep your spirit right. You got to keep your heart pure. Come on. You got to stay broken. You got to stay engaged. Oh, clap your hands, somebody. Oh, come on. I believe we can overcome temptation. I believe we can say no to the flesh. I believe we can overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. And so David was drawn away of the battle, and it's there that he falls to adultery, and eventually he falls into murder. Amen. David was not right. He was far from the path of righteousness. He had strayed so far, but God was still on his heels. We're just having fun today. Is that all right? Amen. There was footsteps. God was coming after him. Hallelujah. He had strayed. He had went so far. But God was still following him into his corruption and wickedness. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to Nathan the prophet. And Nathan comes to David's palace and knocks on his door and gives him a word from God. It was a word of judgment. It was a word of conviction. But I want to tell you, it was also a word of mercy. Amen. Amen. There's been words of God that's come to my life that stung. It didn't feel good. There's been preachers, men of God, that's preached to me and nailed me right between the eyes. Hallelujah. And it didn't feel good. But if we don't, before we get upset, before we get turned around on it or get a wrong perception, amen, don't forget, within that word of judgment is a word of mercy. Amen. If God didn't love you, he wouldn't give you a word of judgment. He'd just leave you alone and say, I'm through anyway. Come on, somebody. When there's a word of conviction, right within that word is also the word of mercy. David, you're not right. Your heart's not right, David. But I'm chasing after you. I'm in pursuit of you. I'm relentlessly chasing and, amen, reaching. Hallelujah. David, you need to stop. David, you need to turn around. Hallelujah. David, you need to get your heart right. Amen. You need to build an altar. David, you need to get back to the path called righteousness. Hallelujah. David, I'm reaching for you because you need to get back. You need to get back to green pastures and still waters. You need to get back to the place that you were a man after my own heart. You need to get back to the place, David, that you were so anointed that you would write songs, that you would worship, and you would play the stringed instruments, and you would dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. David, you need to get back to the path called righteousness where you were on fire for God. Oh, clap your hands. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody thankful we serve a God of restoration? Hallelujah. Come on, he's the God of restoration. Hallelujah. Nathan brings the word of God to David. Amen. And David's heart smote him. Psalms 51, most of us can quote some of these verses. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Amen. He goes on to say many things, and one of those things was, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Amen. David found out when he fell into these sins, yes, there is consequence. Somebody say, yes, there is consequence. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, David found out there is great consequence through his mistake. It was because of his failures that the Lord struck David and Bathsheba's baby with sickness. Amen. This baby's at the point of death. And David fasted for 7 days. And he laid on the earth. He would not eat anything. He was grieving, laying there on the earth. The elders came and tried to pick him up and pat him on the back and strengthen him and encourage him. Give him some bread to drink. Give him to eat. Pardon me. Bread to drink, whatever. Hey, it's Sunday morning. I'm still getting my mind straight. But the Bible said he would not. Amen. He just laid there in his pain. He found out, yes, there is consequence. Amen. But after the child died, that baby died, David arose and washed himself, anointed himself, and changed his apparel. And the Bible says he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Amen. I'm telling you, it wasn't just sometimes worshiping, it's just fun. And sometimes it can feel like rejoicing. The Bible talks about rejoicing and celebrating. And sometimes we're jumping and dancing and there's a smile on our face. And it's just, I like that kind of worship. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But not all worship is like that kind of worship. And I don't believe David was worshiping like that. I believe it was a heavy worship. I believe it was amen, there was a heaviness and a pain and a grief. But he's saying, God, I still serve you and I praise you and I love you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. David found out, yes, there is consequence. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The years to follow these mistakes. Amen. Absalom, his son, would fight against him and try to take his own life. And David, how many times did David wish he could go back and do it different? Oh, we better be careful the decisions we make. Amen. Just because there's goodness and mercy, you better be careful because there is consequence. Hallelujah. There is regret. And Absalom fought against him. And there was much pain. There was much death by the sword. Hallelujah. David found out, yes, there is great consequence when I make mistakes. But he also found out through those mistakes that when I stray, goodness and mercy is still on my heels. Hallelujah. He found out that goodness and mercy follows me. Amen. God didn't write me off. He didn't lose interest in me. Come on, somebody. David found out through his mistakes that God still wants my talents. He still wants my abilities. He still wants my life. Hallelujah. After all that I've done, after all of my mistakes, hallelujah, God still wants my heart. He still wants a relationship. He still wants my future. He still wants my potential. I'm telling somebody, no matter where you've been and what you've done, God still wants relationship with you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, we serve a great God, don't we? I need your help, buddy. Come here. We're going to embarrass you for a minute. Can you just follow me? Can you do that? Just do whatever I do. Just copy me, all right? Don't hurt me or run me over. Amen. I'm telling you, every one of us today, we have something following us. Every one of us. Amen. You may not see it, you may not know it, but there's goodness and mercy that's on your heels, and it's following you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful for that? We're going to wear you out, buddy. Come on, you slept good last night, didn't you? Hallelujah. You kids, how many of you are in school? Let me see your hand. Come on. Come on back there. Hallelujah. When you walk into school, Don't you forget, there's something following you right on your heels. It's the goodness and mercy of our great God. Hallelujah. When you go out to the playground and you go down the slide, goodness and mercy, come here, come on up here. Goodness and mercy climbs the slide with you. And goodness and mercy, comes down the slide. Hallelujah. When you walk into the lunchroom and open up that bologna sandwich. How many likes bologna? Amen. You open up that. I thought everybody hated bologna. I don't. Anyway, whatever. There's no picky people here today. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when we go to school, when we go to work, hallelujah, when we get in our car and drive down the road, when we turn on the radio, amen. I'm telling you, when we turn left, goodness and mercy turns left. When we turn right, goodness and mercy turns right. Hallelujah. When we're going the right way, goodness and mercy is on our heels. I'm telling somebody, when you go the wrong way, when you make the wrong decision and you're going the wrong way, hallelujah, goodness and mercy is still on your heels. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. Amen. Goodness and mercy's following you. Amen. All you can think about today is all the troubles that's following you and all the heartaches and all the discouragement. Come on, all you can think about is all the other things in life that's coming after you. Amen. The stress and the worries and situations. Hallelujah. But don't forget, there's something on your heels, and it's coming after you. It's following you. Amen. God cares about you. Oh, let's clap our hands, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I believe there's people that want to escape the presence of God. There's people that get tired of the goodness and mercy of God. Just get a hold of my coattail there. Don't rip it or break it. It's kind of a new suit, but just be careful. Just kind of tug it a little bit and keep your hand on it. Hallelujah. There's people that get weary and tired of the goodness and mercy of God that just keeps tugging on them and reaching for them and pulling on them. And there's people that want to escape it. And like David said, I believe it was David that said, if I ascend into heaven, amen, if I try to climb up somewhere up high and get away, he said, God's still there. The presence of God, it's still there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, amen. If I go into some dark room and if I get involved in something evil or corrupt, hallelujah. If I try to get away from God, if I try to get involved in things and maybe if I'll get involved in this and that, then boy, I could really just escape the presence of God. Oh, no, you can't. You can try to make your bed in hell. But when you get down to that place, that bed in hell, that place of darkness and wickedness, whatever it is, the presence of God, it'll still be there. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. David said, if I try to dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, if I try to hide somewhere and get away from everything, God will still be there. He said, if I try to dwell in the darkness, get in a dark place, hallelujah, where nobody can see me and nobody can find me, if I could just escape the church and escape the pastor and escape all of the spiritual things and things in my life, the influences, hallelujah, if I could just run away from everything and find some dark place, hallelujah. But the Bible said that God will still be there and he'll still... Come on, pull on me. Hallelujah. He'll still be pulling on you. He'll still be tugging for you. Hallelujah. Why? I'll tell you why. Because God's not willing that any should perish. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The goodness and mercy of God. It'll be like one of those little chihuahuas that just keeps yipping and yapping at your heels. Does anybody have a chihuahua here today? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Do I see a hen right there? You guys have a chihuahua? Oh, I don't want to make anybody mad, but I don't really like chihuahuas. They just get on my nerves. They get on my nerves. Are you tired yet, buddy? They get on my nerves. And I used to do Sunday school outreach and go before the bus. I was the forerunner, John the Baptist, whatever. And I had to go wake up kids and say, hey, the bus is coming in 20 minutes. And there was a couple houses that had all these chihuahuas. And I had to open a gate and walk in there. And Brother Wurst, they're just... I was going to say something funny there, but my wife might get mad at me. I can't do that. Anyway, Brother Westberg, he'd say something funny right there, wouldn't he? About a woman or something, whatever. But I can't do that. My wife's here today. Hallelujah. But these chihuahuas, man, they were just always, and if you face them, you could keep them away. But the moment you turn, and I had about two, this is no, I'm not exaggerating, two pairs of new church pants, suit pants, whatever, that got torn right in here from some of those chihuahuas. Oh, and I was so furious. I hated those. Well, I didn't say hate. That's a strong word. But, man, I didn't like those chihuahuas. They drove me crazy. And they just, those chihuahuas just never seem to give up. And they just keep yipping and yapping. And they won't stop. They won't be quiet. And they won't rest. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's how the goodness and mercy of God is. Amen. He just won't stop. He just... Amen. I'm not here to try to encourage anybody to go out and be foolish and sin and do whatever, because mercy's there. You better be careful, because there's consequences. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God is so merciful, and He just won't stop, and He just won't quit, and He just won't... Come on, He's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Come on, I could keep counting to 500 and 1,000. Come on, hallelujah. His mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. His mercy never runs out. I like what the scripture said. It said that His mercies are made new every morning. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why goodness and mercy never gets tired chasing us, because every night, through the night and into the morning, the goodness and mercy of God plugs into some kind of battery or charger, and it gets renewed. Hallelujah. The strength and the perseverance and the endurance of mercy gets renewed through the night. And every morning, you've got brand new mercy that's just raring to go. Here we go. We got to chase Him around another day. We got to follow Him around another day. Come on. We got to keep up with Him. We got to stay with Him. We got to stay on His heels. Hallelujah. Every morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I believe that goodness and mercy will follow us to the gates of hell. God, I hope that's okay. I believe that. I believe the goodness and mercy of God will follow, amen, people to the gates of hell. But it doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to be saved. But what it does guarantee is that there's going to be opportunities. Somebody say opportunities. Oh, it guarantees that there's going to be an opportunity or opportunities to turn around. Hallelujah. Hey, stay there a minute. To turn around and embrace the goodness and mercy of God. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm telling you. Goodness and mercy will follow you. It'll follow you. Amen. God wants us to be saved. God doesn't want us to be lost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Man, what time is it? I'm going to be like Pharaoh if I'm not careful here today. Amen. Goodness and mercy's following us. Let me take off my coat real quick. You're a little bit small, but you can do this. Just open that up there. Just stand there for a minute. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, in our foolishness, in our ridiculousness, whatever, goodness and mercy is protecting us. Amen. The goodness and mercy of God followed Lot into Sodom. Come here, buddy. Just follow me. Followed Lot into Sodom. Amen. His rebellion, his foolishness. But goodness and mercy followed him there. Amen. And when the word of the Lord came and told Lot, you need to get out of here. You need to get your family and get out of here. This is a moment of deliverance and mercy. But Lot lingered. I'm telling you, even in your apathy or laziness or indifference, when you linger, amen, you're not responding. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy was there. Can you drape that coat over me? Goodness and mercy was there to protect Lot and his family when those evil men were pressing at the door to destroy Lot, to destroy the men, destroy his daughters, destroy everybody. Goodness and mercy, that's it. Come on, hang over me like a big guy. Goodness and mercy was there to wrap its arms around Lot and protect him and to keep him and to preserve him. Hallelujah. I want to ask somebody the question. I wonder how many times in your carnality, in my carnality, how many times in our foolishness, hallelujah, has the goodness and mercy of God hovered over us and protected us? How many times when we were going the wrong way and doing the wrong thing, hallelujah, did mercy wrap its arms around us and spare us? Protect us from tragedy, from death. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Maybe this is different this morning, but I'm just preaching to you. Amen. The scripture says that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Amen. It doesn't mean that he accomplished that. What that's saying is he's trying to. Amen. He's trying to flee. Come with me, man. He's trying to flee. He fled from the presence of the Lord. But he couldn't do it because the presence of the Lord came all over that boat and all over the sea. And there was a great storm. Amen. He didn't flee from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And you guys know the story. You guys know the story of Jonah. You girls know that story. Amen. That he was running from God, trying to run from God, not doing right. And the storm comes. And what did those guys do to Jonah? They threw him. You guys know what they do to him? Come on, speak up. I know you can talk louder than I ever dreamed I could. That's all right. They threw Jonah overboard. Off the boat. Splash. Into the waters. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, goodness and mercy was on his heels in his arrogance and rebellion and the way he was carrying on and trying to run from God. Amen. Goodness and mercy prepared a great fish. A large whale. Brother and Sister Worth are just telling me some stories about these large whales and how they take in what they eat and how the waters are troubled and everything just gets pulled in, and it's amazing. I want to see it someday. Amen. But amen. In Jonah's foolishness, goodness and mercy was on his heels to prepare that fish to swallow him up. Amen. Goodness and mercy was preparing a protection against death. Jonah should have drowned. There ain't no professional swimmer in the world that can just be thrown out that I know of into a tempest, into the ocean, and just live and survive. Amen. But goodness and mercy, come on, put that over me again. Goodness and mercy was there in his foolishness to protect him from death. I wonder how many times in my life as a teenager, different times that I wasn't where I needed to be, Brother Worse. I wasn't where I needed to be. But I wonder how many times goodness and mercy kept me from a car wreck. Oh, does anybody believe what I'm saying here today? I wonder how many times when my attitude wasn't right, amen, that goodness and mercy spared me from an accident or a death. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Does anybody feel like God's been merciful to you today? Oh, thank you, buddy. You can sit down. We don't wear you out too much. God is so merciful to us. Oh, hallelujah. He follows us. He's with us. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. People that are running and they're not doing what they need to do with God. It's a hard road. It's a difficult road. Amen. I had to drive through the mountains. My in-laws, they lived up in Paradise, California, where all those fires were. And my in-laws actually lost their house in those fires. And my sister-in-law lost her house in those fires. But about a year ago, before them fires came, we were up there visiting, and I had to drive to a church that was on the other side of the mountains, and there was a shortcut my father-in-law told me about. And it was a dirt road that went through a mountain range and then finally hit a main highway up on the other side. And he said I could save 45 minutes, I don't know, whatever. But I just wanted to take the good highways and cruise control and just relax, you know. I'm not an off-road guy. But he convinced me, no, it's a good road, it's a good road. And so early Sunday morning, I had a big cup of coffee and my white shirt and suit, and I'm in my truck, and I take off down this shortcut road through the mountains. And it was not as good as he said it was. The potholes were like this. And my father-in-law's a four-wheel drive, a hiking. He's into off-road stuff and wilderness stuff. And anyway, but I'm telling you, with each pothole, I had coffee on my church clothes. I'm not exaggerating. There was coffee spilling all over my truck. And with each pothole, I was getting angrier and angrier at my father-in-law. Ugh. I got over it a couple weeks later or something. But that scripture came to me, Brother Worse. On that road, that scripture came to me. It really did. I feel like God spoke to me in that moment. Hallelujah. Hey, sometimes when we're angry, God could still speak to us. I'm kidding today. But I felt like God dropped that scripture came to me. The way of a transgressor is hard. Oh, hallelujah. And I've been on that road before. I've been on that path when I know I'm not doing what I need to do. And it's like there's potholes everywhere. And it's not comfortable. And your spirit's troubled. And your mind's troubled. And there's coffee spilling everywhere. Hallelujah. It's not easy. It's not a fun road. It's not a good road. Hallelujah. But I also know what it's like to get weary and tired of that road and to turn around. Hallelujah. And embrace the mercy of God. I know what it is to turn around. Hallelujah. And when I embrace the mercy of God, there's an instant transportation. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the road of righteousness is smooth. The road of righteousness is paved with peace. Hallelujah. It's a smooth road. It's a good road. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like the scripture that said, in time past, we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. We were a people that had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained. We got to get our hands on mercy. Amen. The religious world says that the goodness and mercy of God is just hovering and floating over everybody, and it's just going to protect everybody, and everything's going to be okay, and you're all right in your sins, and just relax. Mercy's there to just cover everything and camouflage everything, and everything will be all right. I'm telling you, mercy's not just hovering over us, and everything's going to be all right. But we've got to obtain it. We got to get our hands on it and get a hold of it and embrace it and let mercy work in our life and let mercy change us and let mercy cleanse us. Let mercy renew us and restore us and let mercy get us back to the path called righteousness. Oh, why don't we all stand today? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. goodness and mercy is on my heels. It's on your heels today. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like telling some of these children today, these Sunday school kids, God loves you today. You may feel unimportant because you're not an adult. You don't have a car. You don't have a job. And you're not making money and all these things. But I'm telling you, goodness and mercy is following you. And God loves you. And He cares about you. And He wants relationship with you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Amen. I want to mention the prodigal son just real quick. I'm not going to preach all that I've got with it. Just real quick, and I'm done. Amen. The prodigal son, we know the story. He left his dad. He wanted his inheritance, and he went to a far country, and he wanted to live it up and do his thing. Amen. And he had strayed from righteous living. He had strayed from cleanness and purity. Amen. And he's getting involved in all kinds of ungodliness and worldliness and carnality. And he's spending and losing all his inheritance. Amen. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll take you farther than you ever want to go. Hallelujah. And this prodigal son, he had a good earthly father. I'm thankful for a good earthly father. Not everybody has that. Amen. This is sad. Amen. Thank God He is a father to all of us if we don't have an earthly father. But this prodigal son had a great earthly father, a good earthly father and earthly mother. Amen. And his earthly father was hanging out at home and probably standing on the front porch and looking across the horizon and just wishing and longing, probably praying and crying, "Oh God, bring my son back. Protect him, protect him, protect him." His earthly father was feeding that fatted calf. Amen. Feeding that calf the best stuff and making sure it was fat and that there the meat would be the best it could be because he was preparing for the feast and the celebration of his son coming home. Amen. The earthly father was going to his son's bedroom and just probably anointing things with oil, praying, "Oh God, touch my son. I don't know where he's at today. Protect him. Keep him. Bring him home, God." Hallelujah. His earthly father was a good man. But I want to tell you, he had a heavenly father that followed him. His earthly father stayed home. But his heavenly father was following him on his heels. Amen. Every step into the wickedness, into the darkness, into the foolishness, into the corruption, on his heels, pulling on him, tugging on him, keeping him awake at night, stirring his heart, stirring his soul, bringing conviction, bringing condemnation, bringing guilt, bringing shame. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I feel like telling an earthly father, an earthly mother here today, we can only do so much. We cannot follow them everywhere. But don't forget that boy, that girl has the goodness and mercy of God on their heels. Hallelujah. And that prodigal son, he's spending all his money and he's living very foolish, very, very sinful life. And he ends up in the pig pens and he's sitting there in the pig slop. He's a servant to somebody else, and he has no money, and he's just living a miserable life. Hallelujah. And the scripture said he came to himself. It says when he came to himself, he realized, man, I need to get home. Even though I don't have the sonship status and the inheritance and the future that I had before, the servants at my dad's house are better off than this. Man, the servants are eating fried chicken. The servants are eating good mashed potatoes and gravy, and they've got iced tea with lemon, and they've got my dad treats them right. And hallelujah, when he came to himself, something stirred in him. I got to get back home. Amen. But you know what I believe happened when he came to himself? What I believe happened is that he turned around and he embraced his heavenly Father. Am I making sense today? Hallelujah. When he came to himself, he had turned around and he had embraced the goodness and mercy of God and said, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of fleeing. I'm tired of running from you, goodness and mercy. I'm turning around and I'm getting my hands on you and I'm ready to go back home and I'm ready to do righteously and I'm ready to do what I need to do. Hallelujah. Amen. I wish if I had a little more time, I'd preach it all. Amen. But I want to tell you, in a moment's time, his relationship with his heavenly Father was completely restored. Hallelujah. I know you're standing. I'm sorry. One more point. Amen. In a moment's time of repentance and prayer, his relationship to his heavenly Father was instantly restored. Amen. But I want to tell you, the relationship with his earthly Father, it couldn't be restored until he retraced every step. Hallelujah. Am I making sense today? I don't know if he walked 100 miles or 500 miles. Whatever it was, his earthly relationships would never be restored and amended until he retraced every step. Hallelujah. It can be that way with earthly relationships. Amen. That sometimes it can take time to heal, that there's steps that must be retraced and we must go back and retrace and, amen, to restore. But it don't work that way with our God. Oh, God, help me today. Our God is so merciful. Oh, hallelujah. Our God is so merciful. He's so kind. He doesn't make us retrace every step of foolishness. He doesn't make us retrace every step of carnality. All we've got to do is just turn around and give him a hug and say, God, I need you. I love you. I want to serve you. I'm telling you, if you've made 500 foolish steps towards God, you don't have to make 500 steps back to get restored to God. You just turn around and get your hands on mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I've seen people backslide. I've seen people run from God for 10 years, 15 years. And all it takes is one prayer meeting. Amen. And God transports them back from a 15-year journey back to righteousness. God doesn't say, well, you strayed 15 years. I'm going to make you live right 15 years before I restore you. Oh, no. Hallelujah. Come on. It's instant. It's instant. Hallelujah. I'm talking about goodness and mercy on my heels. Goodness and mercy following me. It's this pursuit. Oh, I'm telling somebody, God hasn't given up on you yet. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. You think your mom's written you off. You think everybody's written you off. Amen. They've all given up on me. They all written me off. They don't have any hope or faith in me. Amen. God hasn't written you off. I don't care who you think's written you off. God hasn't written you off. Come on. His goodness and mercy, it's going to follow you all the days of your life. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's no way you can escape it or hide it or get away from it. Why don't we reach out to the Lord right now? Oh, God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, God. You're so good. You're so good, God. Hallelujah. I think it'd be good if all the Sunday school kids, just for a minute, we'll all pray in a minute. I'd like all the Sunday school kids, I don't want to embarrass you, but if you're a Sunday school kid or child, why don't you step out of the pew and let's gather in down here to the front if you can. Come on, that's all right. Come on, let's make our way up here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy. Just a minute. Stop. Turn around. goodness and mercy's following you. It's right. Turn back around now. Hallelujah. Don't forget there's something behind you called goodness and mercy. It's following you. Now come on down. Come on, let's come on down to the altar. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy is following us. Amen. Why don't we raise our hands, children? Why don't we reach out to the Lord? God loves you. He cares about you. Come on, open up your heart. Come on, open up your heart. Come on, tell the Lord, I love you, Jesus. Come on, why don't you close your eyes? Why don't you think about the goodness of God? Why don't you meditate on God for a moment? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, church family, could we gather in here behind these children here today? God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, you don't make us retrace. Oh, earthly people, earthly relationships require, amen, work and retracing and making things right and going back and trying to redo and undo. Oh, God, but you're so merciful. You're so merciful. Oh, God, you don't require us to retrace every step. You don't require us to retrace every decision and every step, but your mercy is so great and so real. Oh, God. Oh, God. Come on, we're living in a dispensation of grace today. Oh, there's a day of judgment coming. There's a day of judgment coming. But we're living in the day of grace. We're living in a day that mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy is rejoicing against judgment. Oh, we need to obtain it. Get a hold of it. Oh, that the mercy of God would protect us and keep us in the day of judgment. Oh, God, God, I want your mercy to protect me in the day of the judgment. I want your mercy to keep me. I want your mercy to restore me. I want your mercy to preserve me unto the day. Oh, God, I don't want to be lost, God. I want to be saved. Oh, I want to be right with you, God. I want to be right with you, God. I want my heart to be right. I want my spirit to be right. Oh, I want to be a Christian. God, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be a Christian in my spirit. God, I want to be righteous. Oh, I want to be righteous in my life, in my lifestyle. Come on, somebody. We need to get a hold of righteousness. Let's get a hold of righteousness. God, I want to be righteous in the way that I behave, in the way that I conduct my life. Oh, the directions I go, the decisions I make. God, I want to be on this path called righteousness where the blessings of God are. God, I want to be on the path of righteousness that I can sit down in the presence of mine enemies, God. Oh, help me, God. Help me to be on this path of righteousness. Oh, that I can have peace in my mind. Oh, that I can overcome everything. I can overcome everything. Oh, God, injustice, irritations, temptations, trouble. God, help me to be on this path of righteousness. Oh, where there's an overcoming peace, an overcoming power. Oh, God. Oh, God. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, we are the people of God. We are a righteous people. Oh, we are a holy people. Come on, we've got to be righteous. We've got to have our robes white, without spot, without blemish. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me to conduct myself, God, righteously. Help me to behave myself righteously, God. I want to be right with you. Oh, I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from trouble. I want to be free from hatred. I want to be free from animosities. God, I want to be free from the lust of the flesh. I want to be free from iniquity. I want to be free from the corruption, the wickedness of this world. Help me, God. Help me, God. Oh, I must be saved. I must be saved. I must be saved.